Visiting with Richard Bray at Blinn College before the holidays get started. There's some things I want to let the listeners know about things happening at the Brazos County campuses. And first of all, let's recap the November board meeting, because that was held on the Bryan campus. And one of the things that took center stage was a change in strategic priorities. And if you could summarize what the trustees approved.
That's right. We went to we're in the midst of our strategic planning process right now, and part of that obviously is updating our set of strategic priorities, our goals and objectives. And we recently conducted a SWOT analysis where we studied our strengths, our weaknesses, our opportunities and threats, not only for the institution as a whole, but for each individual campus. And we got input from everybody you could think of, administrators, faculty, staff, students, community members. And so we came together, and now we've got more of a streamlined vision for the college's future. So we've identified student success, human capital, and community enhancement as our key strategic priorities moving forward. And so with that in mind, we're now going to be able to use those priorities to create our strategic plan, and those priorities will be used in the budget process to link expenditures to how they help us achieve our strategic priorities. So it's something that not only defines our values for our employees, but it also tells our community exactly what's important to us. And obviously, those three things are our students, our employees, and the communities that we serve. And so I feel like we're doing a really good job in those areas already. We have the highest transfer rate in the state. Our TEAM program, our transfer enrollment at Texas A&M co-enrollment program, is one of the real benchmark programs of any junior college in the nation. And last year we were named to the President's Higher Education Community Service Honor Roll, which is the highest accolade an educational institution can receive from the federal government for its commitment to service and civic engagement. So I think we're doing a really good job in those three areas, but now we're really just making sure that it's a streamlined vision and it's clearly communicated to our employees and to the communities that we serve.
Is there a place online where listeners can look at the new strategic priorities?
Yes. If you go to blinn.edu, right off of our homepage, we have an administration link, and our strategic priorities and our mission statement and our vision statement are all available there. It's blinn.edu/strategic_plan.
Visiting with Richard Bray at Blinn College, something else that's coming up on the calendar, a couple of concerts we want to promote.
That's right. Our Select Choral Ensemble will be performing Celestial Sounds December 5th, and this is going to be a really cool performance. We're going to have our choir performing everything from Renaissance classics from the 16th century all the way to Queen and Journey. So a wide variety of music there. It crosses all genres and should have a little bit of something for everybody. The concert's free. Begins at 7 o'clock in the Barbara L. Pearson Banquet Room inside our Student Center. And a couple of the arrangements are Jesu Dulcis Memoria by Tomas Luis de Victoria, a Spanish composer, all the way to Bohemian Rhapsody and Journey's Don't Stop Believing. So a little bit of something for everybody there. Then a couple days later, they're going to follow that performance December 8th with a performance right alongside Brazos Valley Symphony Orchestra's Holiday Pops Concert. And that is 5 o'clock Sunday, December 8th, at Christ United Methodist Church in College Station.
Also want to talk about some recent recognition for some instructors.
That's right. We have four instructors over at our Health Science Center who were recently recognized for an innovative instructional method that they presented at the National Organization for Associate Degree Nursing annual convention in Reno recently. Our program director, Michael Hutton, assistant director Cindy Manning, and professors Darla Forsberg and Jamie Hardy went out there, and they talked a little bit about our simulation labs and how we use those. A lot of healthcare training programs require you to go out to a to a hospital or a medical clinic, and students try to learn alongside doctors who are, of course, trying to do their jobs and care for patients. And sometimes it's difficult to teach a student how to make healthcare decisions and how to help patients while you're also simultaneously trying to help the patient who's in front of you and not lessen the care that you're providing the patient there. So the great thing about these simulation labs is it gives us an opportunity to teach students. It's always available, and you can design these programs so that students can take charge and they can make decisions and really get an opportunity to see some scenarios that they may not get an opportunity to see in a traditional hospital. So our health science center has a fantastic facility out there. We have a 23,000 square foot simulation and clinical lab area out there in the clinical building, and our associate degree nursing program uses it, our vocational nursing program, our physical therapy assistant program, radiologic technology, our EMS students. They all get an opportunity to go use the clinical building and use the simulation lab and work with some really high-tech equipment to simulate medical scenarios and get a hands-on learning experience. So you not only get an opportunity to teach students through the book and through lecture, but then you can teach them, give them the lecture, give them the information that they need, and then turn around and say, okay, now you apply it. And they get to do that using our simulation equipment, and it's a it's an outstanding program. It's helped a lot of our healthcare programs become recognized both nationally and statewide. And our professors received third place for their presentation over there at Reno.
Speaking of training, Blaine recently receiving a job training grant in another area.
That's right. Obviously, everybody knows that Blaine College provides instruction for our students in a traditional classroom environment, but our workforce education division also provides training for companies, and the Texas Workforce Commission recently awarded us a $267,000 grant to develop a training program that will help two Central Texas companies train their workers. So we're working with Mid-South Synergy out of Navasota, and they're a company that provides electric, water, wastewater service, and internet support. And another company out of Bastrop called Dig Tech Line Tech that provides aerial construction crews with the training and experience to solve challenging power installations and restorations. So these are two smaller companies located right here in Central Texas, and they are working to they were looking for a way to train their employees to do their jobs in a very safe way and help them meet both recognized industry and occupational safety and health administration standards. And so through this grant that we've gotten with Texas Workforce Commission, Blinn is going to go in there and we're going to train 179 employees at these two companies. And both of these companies say that without this grant and without Blinn College's help, they wouldn't have a way to have their employees go through this training program. And so it's a great way for us to help the local community, help the economy, and these companies get to have the comfort of knowing that their employees have been trained in not only how to do this job, but to do it safely and to OSHA standards.
And wrapping up our visit today, an update on the search for the next president of the Brazos County campuses.
That's right. Just before we went on Thanksgiving break, we went through all of our interviews, so our interviews are now complete, and we expect to name a finalist for the president of Brazos County campuses shortly. Once we name a lone finalist, they will need to be approved by our Board of Trustees, and they will do that at their December 17th regular meeting. So we anticipate that evening being able to make an announcement and having a president in place January 1st.
How many applied and how many interviewed?
I believe we had four total interview. I'm not sure how many applied in total.
And as we've visited earlier in the year, this was the second round of interviews, and it dovetailed into the strategic planning process, I understand, and I'm obviously, with the expectation of being able to name a finalist, that person will be reflecting the goals that the trustees have.
That's right. Yes, we opened it up at first, and we did get some great candidates, but we realized that we may have put the cart ahead of the horse a little bit. And so now that we have put a lot of effort into our strategic planning and our strategic priorities, we were able to come into this process and these interviews with a clearer vision of not only where we want the college to go, but where what the role of this position will be and what the expectations are. And so we're really excited about all the candidates that we had come in for interviews. And I'm looking forward to having a new boss here in January.